Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it is Wednesday, December 10th, 2014. My name is Keith Bledsoe, and this is We Are Everyday People, featuring extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Now, that is the platform of the show. That's why I chose to do the show, to counter the negative images that are projected all over the world of most of the people. And you just don't hear enough about, in particular, the guest I'm going to have on this evening. And I'll tell you a little bit about this individual. Very honored today to bring this gentleman on. It's for the second time I've had him on. I had him on about a year ago, and it was actually my second highest rated show since I've been doing the show for a little over a year. This man is an incredible human being. Representing Niles West High School, a secondary education and English major graduate at the University of Illinois Chicago. He is retired. He has been working with some of the Chicago politicians, been a handyman in some of their campaigns, including Danny Davis, congressman from out of Illinois. He is currently volunteering with senior citizens in Bellwood. Very much love individuals, these senior citizens from Bellwood, Illinois. This man has been a father, a brother, a friend, an advisor, a supporter, and an inspiration to all of us. And he is very well, because I'm one of them, of the South Shore High School alumni. I want to bring on Mr. Larry Shapiro. Mr. Shapiro, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
It's a complete honor, Keith. I'm humbled every time we talk, and ever since former students who have, I guess, been looking for me, encouraged me to join Facebook. Ever since then, my life has just been better to reconnect with so many individuals who had tremendous meaning for me. in my years as an educator. It's just awesome. And so, Keith, I'm delighted and honored to be your guest this evening.
And I appreciate it again. Let me, just before we go any further, I want to make sure that any callers who want to call in, I'll be taking calls during and after the first break. You can call in, show your love at 718-664-9513. 718-664-9513. I encourage you to give us a call. And this show is not a two tin cans on the other end of a piece of string. This is a global show. It's pulled up all over the world. If you have internet, there is an archive that is being recorded. I'd like to have as many people's voices on this tribute to Mr. Shapiro, who will be soon celebrating his 70th birthday. I'd like to have as many voices as I can on this show. I encourage you to call in. Mr. Shapiro, let's kind of take it back a little bit, bring ourselves up for the day, and just, I'd start off with this off-the-wall question. Tell me, what is your earliest childhood memory?
My earliest childhood experience or memory?
Yes.
Is that what you asked?
What do you your first day of school? Do you recall that? What comes in the mind when you think about your childhood, as far back as you can recall? What comes to mind?
I guess my relationship with my father, it really planted the seeds in me, in terms of a human being to emulate as a role model. My father owned a little grill, little restaurant partnership after World War II on the north side of Chicago. Halston Addison had it for about 25 years. He worked very, very hard. Yet every evening when he came home, before he would do anything else, he would sit down and we would talk. And that planted in me the absolute beauty of face-to-face human communication. And I have to say he has always been my role model. And even though he left us in 2007, his memory, his values live on. Hopefully I've done him proud. But that would be my memory.
Were you, as a kid, were you always, you know, smart? Were you introverted, outgoing type of person?
I was pretty outgoing. I was always into athletics. I was a nut. I would pretend, since I grew up three blocks from Wrigley Field, I was a real diehard Cub fan. My first memory of Wrigley Field was 1950 when I saw Hank Sauer, Ernie Banks, Gene Baker, Dee Fondy. I always remember Wrigley Field. Never really remembered winning too many games. And I guess most Cub fan memories are like that. I'm still a diehard Cub fan today. That which you are raised with, it kind of sticks to you, and so are my kids, at least the ones that care about sports. But I played baseball, played Little League, played football, actually played 2 years of high school football, where I was a 5'4", 425-pound linebacker. Didn't actually go too much with that, and wisely in my junior year I went another direction, and for most of the rest of my elementary school and my high school life I decided I was either a football announcer or a journalist, and it still was about sports. I was a sports nut, still a sports nut, Chicago all the way, and That was most of what I was involved with in my youth.
Now, as far as I know from South Shore that you've been involved in writing and English and drama. Is writing something? Are those three subjects something that you always wanted to do? Is it something that you just happened upon, or was that a goal of yours at an early age? Even though I know you just mentioned being a journalist or an announcer, but I guess I pretty much answered the question, though, that you already answered the question, kind of. But
had a gift for writing. I always loved to just compose. I would write poems, and in fact, as my level of consciousness grew, as I became involved in whole other worlds, whole other cultures, my writing reflected that, and the style reflected that, and the influences reflected that. I was actually thinking in terms of some of the great influences in my life that redirected my whole worldview. I mean, if you understand that my youth was like most Caucasian youth. Niles West did not, to my knowledge, have any African-American students. I lived in Morton Grove. I don't remember seeing any African-American students. And till I transitioned over to UIC after Navy Pier closed and UIC opened in 65, I had absolutely no touchstones to what would become the single most important evolution in my life. I had a teacher at UIC named Arna Bontemps. He was a visiting professor. He actually is very, very famous as a writer, as a collaborator, as the best friend of Langston Hughes. I had him for two classes. He introduced me to a whole different world, a whole different culture, a whole different viewpoint. And he redirected me and my future from a journalist into something as yet undefined, but dealing with community. I wound up being involved in a program called Upward Bound at UIC, which was a tutoring program predominantly where Cajuns living in the suburbs would come in and for a couple hours tutor young African-American elementary school students. It didn't sit right with me. And so I decided to do something different. I became involved at a place called Beacon House at 14th and Ashland and developed my own tutoring program, which I called, and at that point I was inspired by a person, at that time was called Leroy Jones. He became Imam Theory Barak. And so I called it Black Hope Educational Center after a book that he wrote. And what I would do is I had made some friends that went to Crane, and I convinced them to be tutors. And we established a tutoring school where these young high school students would tutor their own brothers and sisters, so to speak, that lived in Henry Horn, that lived in Rockwell Gardens, that lived in Abla, West Side Public Housing. We developed a program. We wound up doing it at five different centers at one time. We serviced 70 or 80 kids, and it was part of my own evolution. It was also part of something which is the single most important thing as an educator and as a human being, and that's called empowerment. And when you see these young high school students, many times that do not interact with their own young brothers and sisters in the community, but here they are in the role of teachers, it develops a whole new level of interaction and trust. I never forgot that. And in my first 4 years of teaching at Plain High School, from 67 to 71, we kept that program going. And then there was a bunch of other stuff, but because of the influence and the level of involvement I had been in terms of African-American literature, I was allowed to teach at Plain High School the first African-American literature course in the city of Chicago.
Wow.
And that was quite an experience. I wound up at South Shore. It's kind of ironic, maybe. But as I became more involved, at the point at Crane when Dr. King was assassinated and school shut down and there were walkouts, I did, along with a couple of teachers, something that I guess the educational manuscripts say you don't do. I walked out with the students, and students from Crane, students from Harrison, students from Marshall walked downtown, and I walked with them. And
wow.
I never thought about the consequences. I just knew it was the right thing to do. It reminds me of what we see right now throughout
yep.
this country. The lightning,
yep.
the enlightenment, the involvement without consequences. And that really is the only way that change really. And so.
Got to be active. Yes, I agree.
You know, so in a way that led to my exodus. They were allowed to transfer me at that point, and they certainly wanted to. And that's how I wound up at South Shore, where I went in 1971.
So that's the story. I was going to get to that. So you just took care of that. I crossed that question out. Okay. on that note, let's take a quick break, and I'll take a couple of calls in, and we'll come back and we'll pick up where we left off. Mr. Shapiro, how's that sound to you?
That sounds fine.
Okay, I'm going to play a commercial that I recorded for a gentleman who's his own business that we're helping each other out. And I'm going to play that, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Just hold tight, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, Chicago, for your next family reunion, call Jimmy Williams of Abstract T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunion expert since 1990, with photo T-shirts and custom printing available. You can see samples of his work on the Internet. Search for JimmyWilliamsOnline.com. That's JimmyWilliamsOnline.com, one word. For families wanting reasonable prices, quality service, and good advice at making their family reunion a success, call Jimmy Williams from Abstracts T-Shirts at 773-690-5366. That's 773-690-5366. Your family reunions should always be a happy occasion, and your T-shirts should reflect that. Call Jimmy Williams at 773-690-5366. Your T-shirt man.
If you read the papers, you may see
Okay, and we are back. Mr. Shapiro, are you still with me?
I am.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Everything is falling right into place. Wow, I tell you, there's a lot of love out here waiting to get to you, man. I tell you, but we're going to bring on a surprise guest for you, and from the Carolinas, Aunt Audrey, are you there with us? 1 second.
To that music, it's beautiful.
Aunt Audrey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Hey, is Larry there?
I am.
Oh, honey, hi. Well, I know you're going to blush and you're going to want to hide because I'm going to say some really great things about you, but I don't want people thinking that I'm saying that just because you're my nephew. No, I can be really objective.
Oh, my God. My aunt. Oh, my God. Hi,
yeah. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
Well, I am so honored to be able to, you know, not just to tell my neighbor or just to talk about you within the family, but from what I hear, this is really going broadcasting all over the place. And what an honor. Oh, my gosh, what an honor. So just go ahead and just let me know when I can start.
Aunt Audrey, you have the mic, and as we spoke earlier, you just tell the truth and just what this man means to you, what he's meant to humanity, and just how you feel. Just let it flow.
Okay, well, you know, we are family, but this is not because we're family. Larry and I go way back. So the one thing I know is that family is very, very important to Larry. And he's such a wonderful role model to his children. And they are following in his footsteps, which is quite a compliment. And it started with his dad. And I know that his dad was a great inspiration to him. And the thing that I know as a parent is that you always want your children to surpass you. And Larry has done that. There are areas of social injustice. There are areas of social justice that he has taken to new heights. My nephew is talented, creative, but most of all, he cares about people. And he does treat everyone like family. He sees to
yes.
their comfort.
Yes.
He sees to their well-being. He sees injustice where many people just talk about it. But the thing that stands Larry apart is that he does something about it. He doesn't just talk about it. So I'm quite proud. And, you know, I can just take up all this time, you know.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on.
Well, I'm happy to be here. You just let me know when my time is up because Larry knows we talk a lot and I can keep talking.
Well, we want to make sure we got you on. I want to give Mr. Shapiro a chance to respond. I'm sure he has a response for you. Mr. Shapiro?
It's hard to render me speechless, but if there's any spirit, if there's any marvelous person that could do it, it's my aunt. And my uncle, they are so special. They've been involved in so many struggles for justice, and I just love them deeply, and would love to be with them every minute. So, Auntie, thank you for being a part of this.
Well,
so special.
You know that Uncle Carr is here, but we figured just one of us talking and that we both agree on what I'm saying, so he sends his love.
Thank you.
You're quite
Aunt Audrey,
welcome.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate helping to make this a special moment.
Well, thank you for having me. Bye-bye. Love
Absolutely.
You, Larry.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I want to ask the callers to hang in there, and we're going to be getting you right on. I see you. I see you there. I see last four digits. I see a 1147, and I'm going to bring on now another surprise guest for Mr. Shapiro. I tell you, this man here is a great in his own right, and actually a actually a what do you call it? They write great plays. They screen. I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, Compulsion was a great play. I took my younger son to see it in Oak Park. Written and produced by Jeffrey Shapiro. I'm going to bring on Jeffrey Shapiro. Jeff, thanks for coming on. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
And Jeff is the son of Mr. Shapiro. And Jeff, go ahead and express yourself, man. I don't have to ask you anything.
Yeah, I'm here. And one thing that I think everybody needs to know about my father, my dad, I love so much. She's just an incredible person. Is that he really is a hero. He really has inspired me my entire life in so many different ways. Not just, you know, acting, writing, and everything. Just in my worldview. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, when I was younger, when I was about 13 or 14. Or at least before that point, I didn't really have what you would call a worldview on anything much. But he just basically answered a lot of questions that I had to ask him. And I think that that's something that people can learn from my father, is just to be open to your children. Because, you know, I remember that he just never questioned my exploration in finding a worldview. Or the way that I saw things, or the way I viewed things, was never questioned on his behalf. And I think that's a great way of doing things, is just to let your kid explore sort of things, and let them just come to their own conclusions and solutions. And that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, when I think about Dad, I really think of like someone who's a problem solver, really, and he's just a brilliant individual. And, you know, beyond that, I just love him, you know. I mean, he's a hero to so many people out there. You know, I know that, you know, that's part of the thing is that his birthday is coming up, you know, and I want to really, you know, wish him a happy birthday. And that, you know, I know that there's a lot of other people in the family who wanted me to say this, you know, that, you know, Sharon and Angela and cousin Becca all wish you happy birthday and wanted to say they love you very much. And that, you know, I've just learned so much from my father, and I look up to my father. He's my mentor. And, you know, and go ahead. You can ask.
I'm going to ask you one question. Let us share with us, because we know Mr. Shapiro from the one angle. And we love him from an angle, but you haven't lived there and haven't been raised by this great person. I know there's more than one, but share with us one of the greatest memories and one of the proudest moments that you had coming up with Mr. Shapiro.
Yes, I can. I have a lot of memories, and I'm not too big on, you know, going into the past much nowadays. I want to, and in terms of the situation. What I'm saying is that, you know, my memories that I really have of my dad all reflect, too, on what's happening now with my dad. That, like, everything that happened is out of, like, love that we share in each moment now. And I'll never forget when, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I remember being in the baseball league and everything like that. It was my first year in baseball. And my very first year, somehow I turned out to be a good pitcher, and I won the championship with the team that I played with. And it was in High Park. This is when we lived on the south side in High Park. And I just never forget the way he looked at me when the championship, like when we won. He just had this glow in his blue eyes, you know. He has these blue eyes that just light up any soul, you know what I mean? He just, it's just beautiful, and you know, that's how he, you know, and I just never forget his reaction. He jumped up out of the bench, you know, I'll never forget that.
It's something about memories. I can relate, because when you talk about Little League, I can remember one of the golden memories of our childhood had to do with Little League, my father being there. So I feel you on that one. I definitely feel you on that one. Mr. Shapiro, go ahead and make a response for that.
Now, you all are not playing fair. You know, you're not playing fair, man. That's my roommate. That's my buddy. That's, oh my God. I mean, everything that is being said, all I can say is thank you.
Thank you.
And Jeff, I tell you, you're welcome to welcome to hang on with us if you like. We talked about it before. Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
I just wanted to say really quick that, you know, I love my dad very much, and I just want everybody to feel affected by my dad, because sometimes it's hard to, you know, the outer world can get us distracted, but sometimes it's hard to remember that it really does just come down to your heart and your soul, and he's just an example of someone who really cares about people. And so I love you, Dad, and happy birthday, and I love you. And
thank you.
That's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, thank you so much, man. I could not have done this without Jeff Shapiro. Let me tell you, this conversation, this tribute would not be taking place without the help of Jeffrey Shapiro. So, Jeffrey, man, thank you, man. I tell you, I mean that from the heart.
Thank you. Thank you, Keith.
Okay, Jeff. Take care, man. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay, and Mr. Shapiro, I tell you, the love is coming through. We have a 773 area code waiting here. We have a 219. You all hang in there. I tell you, I see you right there. I see you right before my eyes. Don't go nowhere. If you leave, I'll see you. And if you come back, I'll see you too. So just stay there. If you need to leave and come back, do that. We're going to get you in. We want everybody who can call in to be a part of this historic tribute to such a great, great individual. Okay. We're going to bring on now someone who both Mr. Shapiro and I cherish as such a great individual. Just a super, super, just the kindest young lady that you ever want to meet. I tell you, just a beautiful person. She is a South Shore alumni, Hollywood, Broadway actress, a singer, songwriter. She has her own one-woman play. She's been in Cooley High, Caroline in the City, Dave Chappelle's show, Law and Order, and George Horton and the Scottsboro Boys, Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. Shireen, come on. You got this, sweetheart. How you doing? Thanks for coming on with us.
I'm wonderful. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming on with myself and Mr. Shapiro.
There's no way in the world I could have missed this. Happy birthday, Mr. Shapiro.
I love you. I love you, my eldest daughter.
I love you too, Dad.
So, Shireen, I know that I never forget the event we had at my house after one of your plays at South Shore High School one evening. That's when I first came to meet you and to see Mr. Shapiro in a whole different, you know, light. And not that I had him in a bad light, but I didn't really know him. But it really showed me that he was how caring he was, that he would come into our neighborhoods and our homes and just make himself at home and just make himself part of the family. Express yourself. I don't have to ask you a question. Go ahead and just speak out and just tell us how you feel about Mr. Shapiro.
Oh, my goodness. Mr. Shapiro was one of those teachers that was unlike any of my other teachers. He was always very present, and just as he is today. Always had that cool afro. He still has that, he reminds me of George Carlin when he talks, the hippy-dippy weatherman. That's always what his voice reminds me of. It does. It still does today.
I hear you. I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good point. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the hippy-dippy weatherman. Yeah.
Yep.
But he just everything, you know, everybody said his, you know, his aunt, his son, you know, just a kind person, a very creative person, you know, is one of those people that sees in you what you may not see in yourself.
Yes, yes.
And he you know, is not afraid to give you a nudge place where you should be and to give you that push and to not let go.
Let me ask you this. I know that, I tell you, Facebook has been an incredible application, and I know that that there had been a period of time where you had we all lost contact with each other. And how did it feel for you to finally, through Facebook, to come back into contact with Mr. Shapiro? What did that mean to you, and how has it meant to you? What has it meant to you since that reconnection?
It's been amazing, and I, you know, everything happens for a reason. I believe that in my soul, and it's not an accident that I've reconnected with Mr. Shapiro, and he is has been a vessel for, you know, some amazing things that have happened since I've been back here to Chicago, and I know that I had to come back here because the things that have happened had to happen. And that one of those major things is reconnecting with Mr. Shapiro, and because he was the catalyst for my realizing that it was time for me to do my one-woman show. And by having me meet perform for his seniors. And then he asked me to do a show again, but I chose to write it myself and to do my own music. And although I've wanted to do a one-woman show for over 20 years, after I did that show for his seniors, I knew that I could do a one-woman show. So when he came back to me and I said that I would write my own and do my own music, I felt such an elevation of my talent and an elevation of me as a person and an elevation in what I had to offer to other people, the gifts that I have that are meant to be shared with other people. And so it's been an absolute blessing reconnecting with him. And if you'd have told me this 10 years ago, I would have never seen it.
Wow.
What this reconnection with him would have done.
Mr. Shapiro?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you might want to make a comment. Just second, see if you want to make a comment.
Everything that Shireen has said works both ways. Reconnecting to her has been magical. I didn't know she ate so much, but how would I know that? How would I know that? And I'm glad she liked my cooking. That's a good thing, too.
Oh, my God. Yes, she's a phenomenal cook, by the way.
But I just have to tell you, it's... I'm just so proud of her career, but beyond that, her sense of wholeness, her inner peace, her values, that's what's so awesome. She's just a beautiful person inside
I totally agree.
Thank you.
Shireen,
thank you.
Thank you so much for being a part of this, as far as I'm concerned, historic show. It's one I'll be listening to again just to hear the voices of those callers who called in, and just to, you know, I can just feel the love, man. It's almost, this is beautiful. And I want to thank you so much for calling in and being a part of this.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for inviting me.
Not a problem. You take care.
At the party, Mr. Shapiro.
Love you.
Okay, and we have I got a couple of people. We'll take them in order once they call them. We have a 219 area code, and we're going to, that's the only 219, so it's you, 219, and we're going to bring on from Indiana. At least the cell phone is registered to Indiana. Who do we have on the line from 219?
Constant Lewis.
Constant Lewis, how are you, alumni?
I'm good, alumni, to you too. How are you?
Hey, glad to have you on with myself and Mr. Shapiro. And I tell you, I haven't had to ask any questions. You can go ahead and let it flow like everybody else has.
Well, first of all, I want to say I concur with a lot that Shireen said already to Mr. Shapiro. And even though I'm almost as old as he is, but I still call him Mr. Shapiro. But
oh,
he is a true love and a true joy in my life. And as Shireen said, God put him in our lives, my life, for a reason. He was meant to be there. And I'm so glad that I reconnected with him. And he's just, I don't even have the words. I don't even know the words to describe the type of man that he is. But one of the things I always say about him, he's the blackest Jewish man I ever met. And I love him to the moon and back, and he knows that. He's a confidant. He's a friend. He's a mentor. When I needed someone for career day at my school, he never dealt with elementary kids, but he came in and he was a champ, okay? I love him. I don't know where I really would be without having had the experience. And I also babysat for him when I was in high school. I babysat his oldest daughter, Sharon. Yeah, and this man had a music collection out of this world. Of course, it's all black music, you know. And while he was out and I was babysitting, Sharon and I were jamming, okay? But I love this man to death, and it makes me feel so good, even though I know some of us feel like he only just belongs to me, but he really doesn't. I just feel so good that all of the alumni from not even just South Shore at the other schools he's taught, they reach out to him. They still have a connection. And Mr. Shapiro, you know I love you madly.
And, of course, it's mutual. And we're all looking forward to next July.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Constant is going to be getting married. And that's going to be just wonderful, wonderful experience.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it sure will be. Thank you. But I couldn't let this day go by if I didn't say something, because he is definitely an idol, a hero, a wonderful man.
I agree. And I'm so glad that you called in to be recorded, to be a part of this history. This is a recording of a broadcast that will go into archives. That any time Mr. Shapiro, I doubt if he ever questions, there's love out there for him, but if he ever has any questions, he can always pull this archive up and just listen to it.
And
he can just hear it all over again, Mr. Shapiro.
Yeah. And thank you for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. This is from the heart. That's the deepest I can go with it. It's from the heart. And I'm glad, Constance, you called in to be a part of it. I really appreciate you calling in. Hopefully I'll cross paths with you maybe one day at the Rebirth of Chicago Jazz.
Probably. I tend to at least attend a couple of more anyway.
Okay. Good luck, Constance. You take care. And
thank you
so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
And I'll see you Saturday, Mr. Shapiro.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, sweetie.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And we have another flow of love coming in from last four digits. It's 1147. And we are going to press this button here and bring on 1147. Who do we have on the line?
Okay. Hello. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to the great educator, Mr. Shapiro. And I want to say hi to the greatest third baseman I ever played with. You know who this is?
Porterfield, you the man.
Yes, it is.
You
Keith
the man.
Porterfield.
You the man, brother.
What's going on, Mr. Shapiro? How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How about you?
Hey, I had to call in. Keith, this is an awesome avenue you got for Mr. Shapiro to acknowledge him, and he's just a great person. We had a reconnection luncheon with him and my daughter on the 29th, and it was awesome. We thoroughly enjoyed his presence, and my memory of Mr. Shapiro in high school was him running around. He was always running around the building. He never walked. He always was in a hurry with that afro, and you just tickle me. I said, there he goes again, y'all. On the move, Mr. Shapiro. How you doing, buddy?
I'm terrific, Keith.
Great. And I just couldn't let this opportunity pass by without me calling in and saying hi and wishing you a happy birthday. And we'll definitely be seeing you Saturday, buddy.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, KT, let me ask you this before you go. What was it like after, first of all, I will always give praise to Facebook. And what was it like to experience this application and what it can do? And how was it to have that reconnection with Mr. Shapiro when you finally, after all these years, had a chance to sit down and talk to him with your daughter and along with you? How was that?
That was the reconnection with Mr. Shapiro through Facebook. It was awesome. Let me tell you, I haven't seen Mr. Shapiro since, 1975, 39 years, you know what I'm saying? And to reconnect with him through Facebook, it was outstanding. I mean, words can't describe how it has reconnected me with a lot of the alumni from South Shore High School. You know, a lot of my friends are from reconnecting through Facebook, you know what I'm saying? So it was phenomenal to me, you know, and for him to acknowledge the fact that we hadn't seen each other, or, I mean, talked to each other in 39 years, he had to go back to 1975 yearbook to picture me again because he couldn't remember me. But I remember him. I mean, Mr. Shapiro, he's always been a great guy. You know, phenomenal guy. You know, I mean, everything everyone has been saying is right on point. And I think he knows that. And I just want to tell him how much I love him and I adore him and I appreciate him, you know. And Keith, you're doing a great, great thing, a great tribute. This is a great tribute for a great man.
Thank you, brother.
And I want to thank you for that.
Can you hang on for one second? I'm going to ask you one more thing, KP.
Okay.
Okay. I went to a play that his son, Jeffrey, produced at called Compulsion in Oak Park. And I took my younger son, Malcolm, with me at the time. Malcolm was, I think, a senior in high school. And I'll never forget the time that Mr. Shapiro spent talking to Malcolm, talking to him about the encouragement meant so much to me and meant so much to Malcolm. Malcolm will never forget that. What was it like? And I'm sure he did the same thing with Hannah, your daughter, who I can tell you have the absolute pride of. Wasn't that a good feeling just to see how he takes the time up?
Yes. I mean, he was asking her about, you know, her school, what she was studying, you know. Really, Hannah was really impressed with Mr. Shapiro. I mean, she told me, said, "Dad, he is so smart and so intelligent, so giving." You know, I mean, the questions he was asking was great. You know, I mean, she was impressed with Mr. Shapiro because, I mean, just like the caller earlier said, things happen for a reason. I'm a firm believer of that. I think Shireen said that, but. That meeting with him, that reconnection luncheon was meant to happen. We supposed to have this for my birthday in September, but for some reason, I mean, he had car trouble, and we had to reschedule. And just so happened, my daughter was in town for Thanksgiving, and Mrs. Shapiro called. He texted me through Facebook and asked me if the 29th was okay. And I said, yes, but my daughter's going to be in town. He said, okay, if she comes. He said, why, sure, absolutely. You know, that would be great. He would love the fact that he can reconnect with me and my daughter. You know, even though he hadn't met her yet, you know, I mean, that's just the type of person he is. And,
yes.
And she was
absolutely
blown away by Mr. Shapiro. And so was I,
yep.
As all the callers are too. So, you know,
I wanted to make sure I got that in there because I knew that he was going to do the same thing with your daughter that he did with Malcolm. I just wanted you to put that out there.
Yes.
So he knows that.
Yes.
So he knows that.
Yes.
Mr. Shapiro, it's on you, sir, if you'd like to make a comment.
Keith, your daughter is a very inspiring young lady.
Thank you.
And again, this is not an accident.
No.
You and her mom have done a beautiful job. She's a person that is very genuine. I enjoyed myself. And
thank you.
She's going to be very, very successful because you can just tell she's very comfortable with herself. And that's so critical in terms of moving forward. And so you have much reason to be proud. And I love that you continue to just post and post and ooze every time you put a picture of her on there. I just love it. There's nothing better than that. That's how I feel about my daughters and my son. And so there's nothing better than that. And all of us who are parents, all of us who are so proud of our children and stay by them and are close to them in every way. It's just, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your comments. All right, Keith.
Thank you so much for calling, brother. It's so nice to hear your voice, man. I haven't seen you since you saw Mr. Shapiro. So it's been the same amount of time. And we got to cross paths when I'm in town, man. Well, excuse me.
We're going to have
one thing.
Go ahead.
We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. Okay,
we'll
Keith.
I appreciate you taking my call, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being there for me to take the call, man. I appreciate it. You take care of yourself, man, and spread the love to the family.
I will. Okay, thank you. And I see you said it, Mr. Shapiro.
Absolutely, Keith.
Okay. You guys have a good evening, okay? God bless.
Take care, KP. All right now.
Thank you.
Bye, KD.
All right, brother. Mr. Shapiro, I hope that you, well, I don't hope that you know. I know you know. But I want a documentation in case we had to take you to court and prove it to you. The love that we have for you as a human being. As a human being, just being who you are, it's not complicated. And it's incredible, just the person who you are. And what I'm going to do, we're going to take, anyone else want to call? It's 718-664-9513, 718-664-9513. We'll take another quick break and take a glass of water and get ourselves recomposed. And Mr. Shapiro, when we come back, we'll talk about a little more of your history and take calls if they're there to be taken. But we got a lot to talk about. So we'll be right back.
Thank you.
And I'm back with Mr. Shapiro. So far, great tribute, great callers, great love expressed, great emotion from heart to heart. And one individual who we actually tried to get a hold of to get on, we weren't able to get a hold of, but I just want to go into, and that gentleman is Mr. John Hawkins. Carol, I know that, well, those who know that you and Mr. Hawkins are great, great friends. When and how did that friendship come about?
Oh, we got it. I got to tell you my story about how John Hawkins and I met each other, right? Okay, yeah, here goes. And we are best friends. We've been close for decades, and my children considered John Hawkins their uncle. He was at my daughter's wedding. I was at his wedding 5-6 years ago, and we're just very, very close. First time that Mr. Hawkins and I, the occasion to meet, came after I had been transferred to South Shore High School. And those of you that know, you know at that point Mr. Hawkins was the assistant principal under
right.
The principal, who at that time was Christian.
I remember Christian, yes.
I guess that I came with a reputation, and it just so happened, and I don't even remember if it was, must have been 71, 72. There were some disruptions around South Shore High School. There were some people that were just doing some things. I guess somebody had thrown some rocks through a window. There was people that had tried to encourage people to walk out of school. And, you know, it was a very disruptive time nationally. Of course, schools are reflective of that. Well, it came to pass that the principal had heard I was the one that instigated all this. And so he went, not to me, but he went to Mr. Hawkins. And he said, I need you to talk to Mr. Shapiro and find out what's going on. And so Mr. Hawkins told Dr. Christian, well, has anybody talked to Mr. Shapiro? And he said, no, but, you know, some of the assistant principals have come to me, and, you know, and so they wanted you to handle it. So Mr. Hawkins called me into his office. And I had never been in his office. I really had just gotten to the school maybe a couple of weeks ago. And so I walked into Mr. Hawkins' office, and he looked at me, and he said, look, I just need to know, have you been involved with these students that are throwing rocks and being disruptive? And I just looked at him and I said, of course not. That's not what I do. So he stood up. He said, well, thank you very much. Shook my hand, and that was it. And we laugh about that all the time because, you know, not shortly after, we became very, very close and are very close today. That was just
wow.
A funny icebreaker.
I got to add that he's a great person in his own right. He was a no-nonsense guy, but he's one of those guys who can grab you and shake you up, but you knew that it wasn't personal. It wasn't in hate. We knew that he loved us. We knew that he loved us. Well, we didn't like it when he
Absolutely.
Was around because we couldn't get away with anything. But when he was on you, it wasn't with malice. It wasn't with, it was, we just knew it was tough love. So I want to give
That's
him
right.
that. You know,
That's
I,
exactly right.
Yeah. Now, when you first started at South Shore, there was a certain element to the students who were attending South Shore. Contrast that to that element as you were about to leave South Shore.
I'm not sure I understand. You mean compare?
Well, I mean, I know as far as the attitude of the students, how was it different at the later stages, say, in the 80s, like compared to how it was, say, in the early 70s? Like, was there a major difference there? Did you see?
You know, I can only speak from my own perspective, it's really simple to me. I see no difference in the students I had in 1968 at Crane, the students I had 1987 at South Shore. All students, if they are treated with respect, if what is uppermost in your mind is to inspire and to help to instill some positive feeling, the students will respond in that manner. I think today is the same. I refuse to be one of those to get caught up in these kids today kind of dialogue. I mean, what we see right now throughout this country with our young people belies what many of us say. These kids don't care. They don't understand history. They don't know what movements are. We must not only give young people a chance, but we must do everything we can to hand the mantle, because they will be the leaders. I taught an average of 125 to 150 students every year, not counting those that were involved in Creative Arts Workshop, either as writers, actors, or just being involved with some of the stuff. So my interaction was probably 250 students. And I can't say, in all honesty, that I ever had a situation where I gave up, where I felt somebody could not be moved forward, where if I wasn't a positive force, change could not happen. And I do believe that there are a lot of teachers today that still believe like I do. I've got to tell you, the politics of education have changed. The craziness in terms of standardized testing, the struggle with public education and the teachers not being respected, and charters and academies getting public funding, those things make a difference. The pressure on a school to have good numbers, not to educate, but to have good scores,
right.
It is educational madness. So in that way, it's much harder to be a teacher today. In terms of teacher to student, I don't think I would do anything different, and I don't think the results would be any different.
I totally agree. I was, do you think this is by some kind of strange way of a kind of a design, by a systematic design to have made things the way that they are, or is it just something you feel just come about, happen to be? You know, I'm thinking kind of like
when you take a look at most things, there's an economic causation. Education now is a money-making enterprise. It turns my stomach to see television commercials about some downtown global that doesn't make sense to me. You know, who's putting all this money and who's reaping all of these profits? You know, when education becomes private, when education becomes about making money or taking public funding or having corporate foundation grants, as opposed to simply providing the best public education to every single student so everybody has a fair chance to have a good life and to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's harder and harder to do that now. And behind it all is money and corporate interests and just like jails, time that there's an opportunity for somebody to become wealthy on the backs of those that already are being treated unfairly. It just gets worse. And I think that that's what I'm seeing.
Now, I was, one thing I would say, and I'll just see how you think about it, it's the school curriculum. It's like the way things are today, because we have to counter something that we didn't have to counter on, say, when I was coming up in high school. We have to counter these poisons that are out there as far as the violent video games, the nonsense rap music, these that make no sense, that I believe has an influence on the attitude of plenty of, you know, our youth. Not all of them, but plenty of them. Should the school system have the curriculum to include, like, conflict resolution, anger management, basic morals, self-respect, critical thinking, and those type of courses, maybe instead of, say, trigonometry and, you know, college algebra? What do you think as far as the curriculum is concerned?
I think that with ingrained within any curriculum ought to be a process of using your mind, of using logical thinking at all times, that we have de-emphasized thinking, critical thinking. We have designed curriculums to be quick and easy rather than a lot of writing, a lot of evaluation, a lot of using logic, and so you're not learning. You're just learning a test and learning that you just need to get the right answers to get the right score so somebody else gets the rewards. But there's such a great gap when young people leave elementary and high schools and try to move into university level or even community college level. Greater numbers are not succeeding, dropping out, becoming frustrated, you know, and it's a serious gap in terms of our education.
Yeah, that's no question. No question. Now, I want to talk about also your volunteer work with the senior citizens in Bellwood. I've seen some of your pictures, and I can tell you really get a lot out of that. I mean, it's almost you enjoy what you're doing and you enjoy the response that you get from what you're doing from the seniors in Bellwood. Tell us something about what you do, what is it that you're doing out there with the senior citizens?
Well, let me first say it's actually Maywood. When I left teaching in 1987, and that was really after Harold Washington won his second term, I wound up going to CTA, and we were part of a team that was going to be making things fair and better. That was our agenda. That was the Harold Washington Coalition. Of course, we lost Harold 2 months after I left, and things didn't happen the way we wanted it to. But I stayed at the CTA. And then I retired in 1998, and that's when Congressman Davis asked me to join his staff. I've been the suburban representative for Congressman Davis since 1998. I've never really learned how to or cared to actually retire. I wound up becoming staff for State Representative Karen Yarbrough. In the year 2000, so I had a state job and a federal job, both of them part-time, but it was all about helping people. It was all about constituent services. And one of the things I noticed with Representative Yarbrough is the village of Maywood, which has a very large senior population, had no organized senior activities. And so one of the things that I did was to establish the Maywood Senior Club. That was after I left the representative and went to work for her husband, who was the mayor of Maywood, Henderson Yarbrough. We started the Maywood Senior Club, and it's been a joy. It's been wonderful. We meet every week. We have an average of 70 members, and it's kind of funny. Shireen mentioned that I hired her. I get some money for special events, so I hired Shireen, and she came in, and she performed. It was brilliant. I also hired Audley Reed to come and play at our senior prom.
All right.
We have a senior prom every year, you know.
Okay.
And so seniors are probably the most treasured, the most valued constituents that we have. We have one woman. Her name is Carrie Blake. We call her the Dancing Machine. We just celebrated her 92nd birthday.
Wow.
And she comes every week, and she is life itself. When I grow up, I want to be just like Carrie Blake. So the seniors give me much joy and pleasure. We do lots of things. We went to the DeSable Museum together. We've gone down to Navy Pier, shoreline cruises. We've gone to Brookfield Zoo, you know, and we just have a great time, great experiences, and, you know, it's a great part of my life.
Yeah, I can tell. I mean, it's like you can just, and let me correct myself too. I've been saying Bellwood. It should have been Maywood, so I'll make that correct.
Yeah, I live in Bellwood, and you know, but in terms of seniors, you know, it was the seniors from Maywood.
It's something when sometimes you can look at a picture, as I have, of yourself with the seniors and with your family and with the students. I mean, the lunch, and you can just feel the love. You know, if you can't feel the love, that means then you don't have much love in you. I mean, then you're blocking yourself out. You know, I don't do that. I enjoy looking at the pictures. I know that you can just tell that the alumni, everybody wants a party. Everybody wants a party. Everybody wants to spend time with you, talk with you. Everybody wants that moment with you. And I tell you, I just want you to know that. And I'm sure you do, but it never hurts to hear it more. You don't get tired of hearing it. You are incredible, and you deserve all of it coming your way.
Well, let me just say I'm a very fortunate person. Saturday night, as you know, I'm having a birthday party to celebrate my 70th, and there will be lots of people there because I have many families, all of which just give me just great joy. My senior family will be there. My blood family will be there. My community and political family will be there. And there will be former students probably from 1973 all the way through 1987. And all of these associations, all of these relationships, all of these memories just make me a very, very lucky person. And I do love my life very, very much.
Wow. I was going to, well, and for those who may be listening that don't yet know this, can you just let them know where the party's going to be and what time on Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be from 7 to 10 o'clock at Touch of the Past Lounge, 947 Mannheim Road in Bellwood. I've had it there. I think this is my third or fourth year. And we always have a good time.
Beautiful. Let's take. Can we take one more quick break? I want to run this commercial one more time. We'll come back and then we'll kind of start closing it up. And I definitely, as always, will be asking you for a closing statement. So we will be right back in a moment. And if anybody does want to call and get in before we shut down, please feel free to do so. We can get you in. We have the number is 718-664-9513. 718-664-9513, and we'll be right back. Back, and yes, this is Shapiro. Our love for you just grows and grows every day. Ain't no stopping. I tell you, this has been a great moment. I want to thank Jeffrey Shapiro. This could not have happened without Jeff. And I would not have wanted to, well, I would have wanted to, but I really, really wanted the family to be involved in everything that I was doing here. I was not going to overstep that boundary. So, Jeff Shapiro, man, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Mr. Shapiro?
I'm here.
Are you with me? Okay.
I am.
Well, I guess the last statement you made before the song, I guess, actually could have been a closing statement, but I still want to give you a chance. There's maybe more, whatever you want to let flow, to anyone. You have the floor to make a closing statement.
Let me simply say that as an educator, whether I'm in a classroom or whether in life's classroom, I'm the same person. And as I teach, I learn. As I give, I get. And frankly, that which I have gotten is thousands more than anything I've given. The love I feel emanating in others and so many that I've reconnected with, you're so awesome that there's no way even to quantify it or put it in anything that could contain it. All I know is that it will continue, and I hope that we continue to have meaningful experiences and wonderful reconnections. Thank you very much.
Mr. Shapiro, thank you. We love you, man. I look to seeing you and crossing paths with you again. And Saturday, I'll still be in Corpus Christi, but my thoughts, my heartfelt thoughts will be with you. And I know it's going to be a great evening for you. And I'm looking forward to that day anyway, just because I know it's going to be a great evening for yourself and the people who want to get close to you and share with you how they feel about you. So thank you so much for coming on. And as I do in closing, in the name of whomever or whatever, your spiritual power, peace.
won't you hear me now? Go now, won't you hear me now? Go now, won't you hear me now?